All right, the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. You know, somebody wrote me, sent me a message today. In fact, I was angry, even though I replied. I feel like after a while, Christians should get above some things. A man of God is not a spirit of God. He's a man. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
What did I say? A man of God is not a spirit of God. He's what?
A man.
And men die. So just soak that one into your head first. Do you understand my point? I remember many years ago, Hafford Ilopotaife, many of you may know his wife in Kechi. Is that her name? I don't know whether that's her name. And the Victory Christian Center, I'm not very sure of the woman's name now. She's still in charge of the church. I was in Lagos one night when one of my friends, who is was a resident in neurosurgery then, he came to me and told me what happened during the day. He was admitted to their unit. He had been shot in the head. And I was I felt bad, just like we're all feeling bad now. I thought it was a man I used to like to go to the church to go and listen to the preaching of the word of God. I used to go a great distance from where I was staying, all right, to get to where he was teaching. So that particular day, I was discovered. The guy came and told me this had happened. And I felt very bad. And I told another brother who was with me later in the evening. I said, see what happened today. And I was really feeling very bad. And he said to me that, yes, he understands that if that can happen to him, what can happen to us? I told you, in fact, I don't remember what I told you, you're very stupid. I said something to that effect. Like, my friend, will you get away from there? Is that what I'm talking about? What can happen to me? I said, what happens to him is between him and his God. I'm just feeling compassion for the man I love. Are you getting my point? It's not having to do what can happen to me and what can happen to him. Look, I just felt bad. This is my brother, you understand, senior brother in the faith. He's somebody who has blessed me. When I was on campus, he came to our school to teach. I attended a number of the meetings. And after I went to Lagos then, years later, I went to his church. And I remember the day I went there, it was not even around. Somebody has preached. And I was so tremendously blessed. The story I tell you all the time about Ron Kenoly, which I heard directly from Ron Kenoly's mouth, was in his church. He brought Ron Kenoly to Nigeria. So he's somebody who has been a tremendous blessing to me. So when that happened to him, he died a week later, all right? I felt very bad. I was very young. He was 36 when he died, you know? And he was bishop. In fact, one day I was talking to my friend. I said, well, not small boy is a good one. I said, when Bishop Alfred Lopitai was bishop, he's younger, far younger than I am right now. Yes, but he was very young when he died. He was very, very young. Now, what I'm trying to say is that I just told the brother, I said, look, forget that side. This is not what I'm thinking about. So when I got the message today, this is a man of God. I just said, I have only one word for you. Mind your own business. That was the reply I told the sister that sent me the message. I said, mind your own business. In the book of John chapter 21, all right, Jesus, that's verses 21 and 22, Jesus said to Peter said, what about this one? You know what Jesus said to him? How does it concern you? Jesus said, Peter asked, what about John? And Jesus looked at him and said, if I want him to stay till I return, how does that affect you, your ministry, the work I'm giving you? You just follow me. That was the tone. And I remember I was listening to Kenneth Hagin again. Of course, I listen to him a lot. I have a lot of his messages these days. And he said once his sister died, then he had a vision of the Lord. And then he asked the Lord, I have a question. The Lord said, what is it? He said, how come we could not pray my sister into health? How come she did not get well? She died of cancer. I've prayed for people before they get healed. Lay hands on cancer, disappears. I prayed hard for my sister. She did not get where she died. I asked the Lord, what happened? The Lord said to him, how does that concern you? He said, it's none of your business. So the Lord said to him straight, it is none of your business. He quoted for him from Jeremiah chapter 29, that the secret things belong to God. The ones that are revealed, enjoy it. If it's not revealed, none of your business. I told my dear sister that sent me the message, I said, just be concerned about your walk with God. No man is going to live forever. Are you getting my point? And the day each person goes is between him and his God. He said, can God prevent people from dying in plane crash? He can. I was in the story of Samuel Doctorian. He was on the flight when the plane caught fire. The plane didn't crash. You hear what I said? He said he was watching like this. The engine on the wing beside him was burning. But I think before then, the Lord had told him or something. He just knew that, don't worry. Everybody will be okay. And the plane landed on fire. It was burning while it was landing. They touched down and everybody was evacuated. A week before the Indonesian tsunami hit, he had a vision. And he saw the waves. He just saw everything happening. He knew that he knew a lot, thousands of people would die. At the end of the day, over 200,000 people died in just about 24 hours as a result of that single tsunami hit. He saw it about a week before that, and he asked the Lord simply, do you want me to, he was doing some meetings on the Indonesian islands, do you want me to end my program now? The Lord said, no, finish your matter, and then you go. So he finished preaching, packed his things, took a flight, and left. A few days later, boom, 200,000 people died. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? That's how it is. So, our dear brother Miles Monroe died. It was very painful. I think I was one of the first Nigerians to hear about it. I don't know. I woke up at night. I don't know what I was looking for. I had to open Charisma News around 4 a.m. That was Nigerian time. That was like 5 hours after the thing had happened. The man was dead. What are we going to do? I felt very bad. Felt really, really bad. But then, God is still good. Amen. And for your information, in case you think, a lot of people, you know what worries them is that they think how committed you are to ministry is a sign of how much God will protect you. Forget that nonsense, though. Wait till I talk. You are free to repeat it. It is rubbish. It's nonsense. Some people say that they were on a plane and they saw Iyadebe was sitting beside them, so they were so sure that he would be safe. At least now you see that you won't be safe. God has proven to you by the death of Miles Monroe that Iyadebe is sitting on your laps doesn't mean anything. Two of you can die together. No, so Christians say some funny, very funny things. When I was young, I used to believe it too. The man was on a flight. The pilot was giving some funny announcements. Then he looked and saw Billy Graham and said, everything is okay. You have seen that Billy Graham can die. You get my point?
Yeah.
There's no man whose presence is guarantee of security for you. Yeah, you have to understand. You know, there are Christians who state, when I hear it, it makes me laugh. Even comedians make a joke of it. The day of judgment, one day I saw this guy, Bovi, cracking a joke. You know, one of those ones they send around by WhatsApp. And the day of judgment, that some people went to steal, when they were supposed to be on the queue, waiting for judgment time. So what they just did, they went to steal Bishop with a boss ID card. And when they read it, the angel confused. And they said, hey, what's your name? He showed Oyedepo's ID card. He said, that's me, Bishop David Oyedepo. So the angel said, enter. Ah, he said, when Oyedepo arrived later, the angel said, what's going on? Okay, you never enter. He said, two of them, Oyedepo here and David Oyedepo, were stranded because some Nigerians had taken their ID cards and gone into heaven. That was Jesus by himself that came to say, no, these are my people. They had to tell all of them, yeah, come out. You know, we crack all those kind of jokes because we think that David Oyedepo is serving God more than you.
Yeah.
You think that Oyedepo, some people say that Oyedepo has built mansions in heaven. Go there. Listen, you don't know. Bro, he get only hot for there as it is. So. Due respect, sir. But I'm just trying to teach you the truth. Your stature on the earth means nothing in heaven. If you don't know that, please go and read the book, Final Quest, by Rick Joyner. A man who did next to nothing as far as human beings were concerned. This really happened with a literal human being who Rick Joyner knew on the earth. The man had died some time ago. Rick Joyner got to heaven and saw him on a massive throne. He said, what is he doing here? He said, I gave him 3 doses of love. He spent every single bit of it. Many people, I give them 100 doses. They use 70 doses. The 70 doses impressed the whole world. Only God knows how he's judging. So when you get to heaven, you see some people, some women that you never saw in a pulpit, nowhere. They're sitting down, doing what God asked them to do in their corner. They get to heaven, God promotes them above. They go, David, please get me my shoes. You go surprised. Yeah, David, don't clean my car. Pastor Banky, yes, ma. Clean my front door, yes, ma. I need to put my name so that it won't be as if I'm insulting other people. Yeah, that is that. You get. I don't know what I would do like that in heaven, but see, what you do on the earth doesn't mean, hey, my father in heaven. Listen, let me tell you something. You'll get one of my sermons sometime in a short while. I'm writing a sermon titled, Being Used or doing the will of God. They are two different things. Two totally different things. God can use anybody. Most of the things we see on the earth is what God uses us to do. It says next to nothing about whether we are serving the will of God or following His purpose for our lives. If you decide you want to be an armed robber, God will use you to kill somebody. Don't think that only the devil kills. There are different people that kill. The devil kills. God has some angels that kill. Angel of death is not demon of death. The one that went into Egypt and killed all the Egyptian firstborns. The Bible called him an angel of death. The one that went into Israel and killed 70,000 people in just a short time. All right? Go and read the story. That angel, David saw him standing there, had a sword drawn, and it was an angel. It was an angel that responded to the sacrifices being offered. The only prayer you should pray every day is, God, when you want to kill, I'll show you where you can kill, but here, don't. Say, God, don't just kill anybody here. The Bible makes it clear, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hand of the living God. All right? So if you make yourself an armed robber, when God wants to do some bad things, He knows people to use. He will use you. Without Judas, Jesus would not have died. I hope you know that. But if Jesus did not die, how will you be saved? So we have to thank God for Judas. Thank God for his life. We thank God he was born. Thank God he was a thief. Was he serving the will of God for his life? No. The will of God is always sanctification. Judas was not sanctified. Paul said it like this. He said, if any man purges himself of these things, useful lust, stealing, all those kind of things, he'll be a vessel unto honor, made ready for the master's use. He said, there are vessels in the house for noble uses and ignoble uses. Judas was one for an ignoble use, was a use. So we had to betray Jesus Christ. We had to get a Judas in the ministry. The day they called all of them into ministry, Jesus said it clearly. I've called you 12. He said, one of you is a devil. He didn't become a devil while he was in the ministry. Before he was called, God saw the character in his heart. He knew he was a bad man. He said, but how can we make Peter betray Jesus Christ? Even Thomas, he can doubt, but he won't betray. Peter can be zealous needlessly, but he won't betray Jesus. It was not in order. Who will betray Jesus? The man who steals from his purse. That's how it is. So what do? We make sure that we are sanctified. You know, I've been saying it. I'll continue teaching on that thing after some time. The will of God is sanctification. The will of God is not, should I go to Lagos or stay in Enugu? First and foremost, the will of God is sanctification, because each time God will find a use for everybody. Very important. So that's what I'm trying to say. Are you being used? Listen, let God use people the way He wants to. Make sure you are ready by true sanctification. That's the emphasis. Make sure you are ready. You can't judge anybody else's life. All right? So, and listen, you don't say, if you like that and that way, I thought so too. But all the same, brother, don't go this way. It's very painful. It hurts. I mean, I don't know when last anybody died and the whole world mourned like this. I mean, it's been a while. You understand? So it's really painful, but we just have to put things in perspective. You know? Don't just, in fact, anyway, the Lord is good. What I'm just trying to emphasize is that take care. Bible says, take heed to yourself. You know that? That's what Paul said in Acts chapter 20. Take heed to yourselves. That is, each person, take heed to yourself. Told Timothy, take heed to yourself, to your ministry, to your doctrine, not to the doctrine of other people. You can't be worrying your head about what's happening to somebody else there. No, you can't. You take heed to yourself. How well am I walking with my God? But like we said, let's take the man who passed on today. It was a man who blessed his world tremendously. Two of us. First man who taught me about purpose. It was before I taught about potential. What I learned most about from him was purpose. Till today, I'm not aware of anybody that's taught that depth in purpose. We all learned it from him. Many of the things people like me preach today, you know, sometimes people talk about inward witness, inner witness. I've been telling you, before your inner witness can witness innerly correctly to you, you must first use outer witness to talk to it. That is, the things that are inside your spirit. People say that because it's the spirit of God, that's why it always talks correctly. It's not true. The major reason your spirit will talk correctly is because it's being fed with truth. So many of things we just say spontaneously from the depths of our hearts. It's because of things we heard some time ago. You don't even know they are there. But your spirit has been absorbing truth as it was coming in. One of the things that set me on the path, two people preached that message to me on the path of purpose. One, the name most of you here probably never heard of, apart from maybe when I mentioned it, his name is Larry Adeboye. Yes, the pastor somewhere in, I think, Oshun, or your state, that axis, came to my church when I was a house officer in 1992. And he preached and explained, that message was titled Year by Year. I think I still have the notes somewhere. Year by year. He explained why Hannah went to the temple year by year. That was the first time I heard somebody explain the fact that life has a purpose, that everything that God gives him is tied to a purpose. I never saw it like that before. After him was now, and I heard Miles Monroe teach what we all know him for teaching. So the man affected his generation. And that's what's most important. If Jesus takes about 3,000 years to come, for 3,000 years, somebody will be referring to books, messages, things that this man left on the earth. Yeah, that's a matter of fact. And that's what we should be most concerned about. In fact, when he passed, one of our brothers sent something. He sent one of his pictures and then put a caption. That's Miles Monroe's picture and a caption under it. He said simply, I was quoting Miles Monroe, death is not the worst of tragedies. It's life without a purpose. That's it. As far as, let me tell you something. Should I tell you one thing you can be 100% sure of? That brother did not witness the plane crash. Miles Monroe did not witness that plane crash. He died in it, I know. All he knew, he just closed his eyes, opened his eyes, and realized he had gone up to heaven. Those of you buying newspaper that have seen the crash, don't think he came out and said, why is my plane burning? No, take my word for it. Was it not painful? No, not at all. No, not at all. That one you can be sure of. I'm telling you, 100%. I'm accurate. I'm not joking. It's a matter of fact. All that happened to the brother was that he entered a plane, right, leaned his seat back to take a nap because he's a very busy man. But one brother was telling me that men like him, I don't know whether I'm referring to him specifically or people like him, that sometimes they only have their bath before the next meeting. He finishes the meeting, he's on the plane. So either he showers on the flight, if it's a very nice one. Otherwise, as he lands where he's going, you check him into a hotel, he quickly takes a bath, changes his clothes, and walk into the next meeting. To probably lean his seat back to take a nap. And then he opened his eyes, and one angel said, come to this side, sir. That's how it happens. That is how it happens. All right? The Lord is good. I hope you feel good. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Yeah, I know it's good. It's good to feel bad sometimes. I mean, if you don't feel bad at all, it's not because you have too much revelation. It's because your head is not correct. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. It's true now. How can somebody die? Just say, I just rejoice, he has gone to heaven. So all the time he was alive, I was sad of it. Amen. If person die, you're supposed to cry. Amen. When the Bible says don't grieve like the world. We go still grieve. But our own grieving is not like the world, you understand? Ah. One day my wife was traveling. She wasn't going anywhere that she won't come back, just traveling, just leaving us, you know, just because she was going to the UK. You know, put everything in order. Enter the car and take it to the airport and I started crying. I mean, because and that was the first time she was going to leave these children alone for like 2 weeks or so. She was going to be gone for like 2-3 weeks. So I said, okay, make sure you brush your teeth in the morning. In my mind, we will brush it for them if they don't brush it themselves. Eh? Make sure you do your homework. I was giving her children instructions. Oh, mama, your flight time is approaching. Enter the car and take it to the airport now. Look at the children and started crying. I was like, ah, madam, what's the problem? Are you not going to come back? Tell me now if you're not planning to come back. the Lord is good. What I'm going to say is that, so you miss people. You understand my point? You miss them, all right? And that somebody's just going for a few days. You cannot imagine that the one that we are not sure we'll see in the next 50 years, you know, that kind of thing. I say, we'll see in heaven. I know, but that heaven is still fast. I'm not planning to join you tomorrow. So it is proper to cry. I mean, you should bow your heads and shed proper tears. What is it? We don't mourn like people that don't have hope. We don't do that. We don't do that. I mean, we have to feel a sense of loss. Yes, we have to. We have to. Just that we don't do like people who don't have hope. You understand? Yeah, we don't behave like that. In fact, it's known that when Christians die, assume Christians are ill and also elderly and they're about to die, people have noticed that they die differently. Yes, they die differently. You don't see this feeling of despondency and, you know, fear in their faces. But all these people, they say, there's no God, there's no God. Go to their deathbed. They go, they say, oh, well, you sure says there's no God. They go, now then, yes. They don't die happy. They die with regrets. They are sad when they are dying. But when Christians are dying, they always smile. You know, many times what God does is to even show them a vision of where they are going. I've read stories of men that are, maybe they die. And they are living. People, they pray a dangerous prayer. God say, hey, you go back. They came back to the earth and like, guys, what's wrong? Why were you praying that kind of, you know? I was hearing your prayers. Guys, you saw, if you reach that side, even you no go Greek come back. Yeah, and that's a matter of fact. When they were stoning Stephen, he was seeing glory. All he was seeing was visions of angels. What he was seeing was God, it was Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. That's what he was seeing. So you think you are killing the body, the man is not seeing you at all, he's not feeling you. He's not feeling you, he's gone. And he's gone to a place that is real. Like you take my clothes, you are burning them. Me, I don't relocate. Maybe I used to chop ice cream with my friends, and you are burning my clothes. Do you know that kind of thing? Say, this is Pastor Banky, useless man. Kill his clothes. That is his suit, I don't like, I never liked it. Say, burn it! And you expect me to be feeling bad. I've gone somewhere else. And I say, did you hear? They burnt your clothes in Nigeria. What? They did? Why did they do that? But I'm not feeling it at all. Because I'm in a place, I'm comfortable, I'm happy, you know? I'm just feeling good. And that's how heaven is. It's a real place. It's not a place of, you know, we're not imagining things. It's real. It is real. It is real. You understand what I'm saying there? All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So, Brother Miles Morrow, thank you very much. It was nice knowing you. You were such a tremendous blessing to us while you were on the earth. And we trust that God, you know, is taking care of your family, the ministry, and all the works that you did that magnified and glorified his name. They will endure to eternity in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that anointing, that's one thing. He said, the seed, while it's alive, it abides alone. Now, I was listening to Pastor Busui the other day, and he explained something that death is not just that day of dying. That when Jesus came down to the earth, it was a form of death. Do you understand? And so when he died on the cross, that was not his first time of dying. He had died before. Did you hear that? That was not the first time he was going to die. He had died before. That to remove all glory and come down in the likeness of man, that's a form of death. You understand? I'm making an issue here again. I say again, death is not just that day we pass on. Death is also the giving off of life. As you are releasing life, it's a form of death. That's why Paul would tell you that death is working in us and life in you. What it was saying that we are taking something out of us and we are putting that thing into you. I'm not an issue here. So that when you talk about a seed, while he's alive, he abides alone. Alright? But when it dies, it brings forth much fruit. That is, it's a process of death in that particular regard in which as we are living, as ministers of the gospel, I don't mean preachers now because we're all ministers, all right? As we are living, we are releasing something from inside us and then imparting into other people. So that's the form of death now. You get what I'm trying to bring out from there now. So something is always going out of you into somebody else. So much that if you now finally die like someone like Miles Morrow, the life you give out is no longer alone. You follow what I'm saying? The messages he preached, many of us can preach those messages. And we learned it from him. You understand what I'm saying? Many people. But if he did not preach those messages, maybe we would not have understood it. So the life that came out of him, all right, is being magnified all over the place. And that's what we must be concerned about. I realized something. Christians are very worldly. Do you hear what I said? Christians are often very, very worldly. Are so preoccupied with, I must buy a car, build a house, buy investment, send my children abroad. Things that, look, let me tell you something. There are things you must never sweat to do. They won't come easy. Don't bother. If they won't come easy, don't bother. If they will not come easy, don't bother. There are people that can't do anything serious again. Why? They are buying car. That is, bros, it's birthday now. Me will chop ice cream. Man, things tight now. Why? He's buying motor car. Can't rejoice. It's your birthday, you should rejoice. Don't be a Jehovah Witness. Celebrate. I want to emphasize something. Don't learn every bad doctrine. Say that Jesus did not celebrate his birthday. But as we know the day he was born, we know he used to go for parties, you know, where celebrations were happening. So don't let anybody deceive you that for that reason, you must never celebrate your birthday. Some people build, you know, some people are unhappy people. When God called them, they were sad. Yes, if you follow John the Baptist, the way he was dressing, you think he would dress better? To take their sadness and turn, make a doctrine out of it. I remember when we were in school, one of my friends, their fellowship, it was a sign of spirituality not to laugh too much. So if suddenly they announced now that, Azume Chima came from Lagos to visit, and I say, oh, Brother Chima is around. And people say, oh, they will look at you like, what is exciting you? I have not seen Brother Chima in a while. Why shouldn't I be excited? So everybody will come, they go down. Meanwhile, these are people who are not, they are not used to being excited. It now turned into a doctrine. Well, one of his friends, I remember, that one said, when he saw my friend and I, we used to laugh, all right? We'd be very happy. He said, when he saw us, the guy is a pastor today. He said, when he saw us, he realized that Christians could be happy. He went and rededicated his life to Christ. Because we used to be happy. What I'm trying to say is be happy, amen? Amen? So occasionally when something good happens, so you throw something, you know, throw some money down, you know, let the boys eat something, you know, let them drink something. It's the will of God. I don't have time to teach about it because you want to, you buy the car next year. What's the big deal? How can you buy the car faster? Because a merry heart, it attracts favor. When God wants to bless you, they will reduce the price by 25% because you are happy. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that let's not be occupied with material things. Let's focus on things that if you were to die now, you understand my point, it will have affected the lives of people around. I mean, take a huge chunk of your income and just be using it to help somebody. I'm serious. What am I trying to explain? I'm talking about the process of death. When Paul talks about death working in us, but life in you. And it's so that when a man leaves, the thing he has impacted into the life of other people, all right, that thing is still there, affecting generations afterwards. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, so like we're saying, Father, we thank you for the life of Brother Miles Morrow. He was a tremendous blessing to us. We miss him very dearly. But we know that the anointing that you passed into the earth through him is bearing fruit and it will continue to bear fruit in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. That's a word of consolation. I didn't even plan it like that. But I'm sure you were blessed anyway. All right, the Lord is good. Tell your neighbor, smile. Be happy. Brother Miles Morrow is happy where he is. Yes, say it like that. And tell the person, no need to be sad. They tell the person, don't worry, you won't die now. You know, some people, that's what's worrying them. They say, if man of God can die, mean they will shred me to pieces. That is what is concerning them. So don't worry, all right? Let me pray for you. You will not die now in the name of Jesus Christ. Even if the driver driving that car, taxi that's taken to Lagos, decided to somersault, you will come out of that place and you'll be intact in the name of Jesus. Not one of your bones will be broken in Jesus' name. I prophesy to you again that no evil will befall you. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
The angel of God will protect you and deliver you from all evil in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, for the time we have left, let's just continue our God-centered praying. Israel, anyway, we'll talk later. All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of let's start from the book of Mark chapter 4. What we want to read is the well-known parable of the sower. Let me see whether I'll use the one in Mark chapter 4. If what I'm looking for is not here, we'll go to the other one in Matthew chapter 8. All right, let's just, we know the parable very well. I was talking about the parable of the sower, verse 3. He says, listen to this, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. He now said that the other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because he had no depth of soil. He was very zealous. He didn't have deep understanding. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, this is interpretation from verse 13. Let me just quickly go down to verse 18. And now, for those who were among the thorns, he said, and others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on which the seed was sown on the good ground. And I said, these ones hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. My emphasis here is on the seed that fell on the ground that now brought up thorns afterwards. You will notice that the ground was good apart from the thorns. That is, in verse 7, you see the seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. That tells that the seed began to grow. If you read the context of it, you'll see that there was depth of earth. It was not among those that fell by the wayside. Those ones had no understanding, and the birds of the air came and picked everything away. Some fell on rocky ground. That is, the soft earth on it was quite shallow, so it could not sink its root downwards. And so they sprang up quickly because they were not taking root downwards. Because first of all, in Christianity, your roots must go downwards before your fruit can abide. So, but they came off quickly. So that tells you also that the third group did not have that problem. The root was good. It went down quite well. The ground was deep enough. But why did it not produce? It's because the thorns came up. That's what I want to bring out. The thorns came up and choked it. And for that reason, it did not yield any fruit. That is, before the time of yielding fruit. You must understand that life has seasons. And that's the problem. Life has seasons. The time of growth is before the time of yielding fruit. Initially, the thing grows, but it's not going to produce anything yet. But during that period, some things start preventing the crop from the plant from getting to the point where it can produce seed. Produce fruit. And those things, Jesus said, they are thorns. The things that were, now notice this, this is where I'm going to. These things were already in the ground. That's why they sprang up. They were deep inside the hearts of the people. Initially, you wouldn't know they are there. And listen, this is a matter of fact. Sometimes people are doing ministry. I'm talking because I'm a preacher and I understand many of the things happening in the ministry. And you see a man outside, he looks he's a good preacher, he's dedicated, you think. But deep inside his heart, he's chasing the same thing everybody is chasing. I must build a house. I must have a fine car. My children too should be able to go to school abroad and all of that. So after a while, the pure doctrine he was preaching before, which does not bring financial fruit fast. I explained to you earlier that you find out that life, the period of growth, all right, when the plant is just growing, bearing leaves, is before the period in which harvest will come, you know, the seeds will come. So during that period, sometimes there's pressure. And that's when the man starts changing the doctrine. It happens to everybody, not only preachers. But because I'm a preacher and I understand that, that's why I'm giving as an example. When he starts changing doctrine, the pattern of ministry has to change. You know, I went somewhere, somebody said, he asked to an Orthodox church, they're preaching some funny doctrines, you know, like this kind of first fruits, those kind of doctrines, you know, all those kind of very funny. There are all kinds like that. You know, bring your whole January salary to church. Otherwise, God will not bless the last 11 months. If the first is holy, the rest is holy. The tithe was already holy. You know, so many things that are holy there, you know, so that 11 months can be blessed. So the man was grieved in their church. Why did they start preaching that kind of thing? An Orthodox church. So he went and challenged the ministers. Okay, why are people doing this now? He said the Pentecostals are collecting our people's money. So we have to find a way to get the money back. Did you notice that? So the man comes to church, he's preaching something. And you're thinking, oh, God, this is new doctrine. What he's thinking of is not what you're thinking of. That if I don't preach it now, you'll carry that money to that church down the road. So let me preach it so I can collect it. Is it true? He doesn't care. And now listen to me. Don't think me, I will never do that. Let me tell you the truth. That was what Peter said. You hear what I said? You didn't hear what I said. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
That was what Peter said. Peter said, I will never deny you. Jesus laughed. Be preaching good doctrine there and don't pray. We're talking about God-centered praying. And don't pray effectively. It's when your children have to go to school tomorrow and you have not paid school fees. That is when you will understand. I'm not justifying it too. I'm just saying why you have to pray. Jesus said to Peter, pray so that you will not enter into temptation. This is not bragging and bragging. Bros, you have not been there. So wait. When the Pharisees and the Roman soldiers come after you, when they come after you with club and spear and arrow, you will know that time whether you can do that or you won't do that. So Jesus warned Peter ahead of time. He said, pray so that that will not happen to you.